All right, so we are holding on some Chazayin Omud Beis. About a third of the way down the Omud line against Balayla. Okay, the last thing we said was, like this. We know we have a Nida versus a Zava, and the din is that a Nida can only tovel after the 7 days of Nida are over. So she starts bleeding, let's say, on a Sunday. Doesn't matter whether it was only the 1 day, doesn't matter whether it was 2 days, or the whole 7 days, whatever, as long as it stops sometime before the end of Shabbos, then she can go to the mikvah Musa Shabbos. But the flip side is, even if, let's say, she only bleeds for 1 day or 2 days or what have you, she can't go before Musa Shabbos. She goes any earlier than that, it doesn't count.
Is it be 1 day?
It doesn't matter how many days it was. Whenever she becomes nidda, she's nidda for full 7 days.
7 days.
For full 7 days, and only after the 7th day is over can she toil.
Right.
So therefore, what we said was, that Rav is
including the first day? Well,
including the first day. So, the first day is the first day. Is the first day when she actually so, so we said we started with Machloka. She needs six extra, she needs 7 days. You have the, because again, it doesn't matter how many of those days there's blood. It doesn't matter whether there's one or two or five or all
that. Shivanakim.
Shivanakim is for a Zav. That's something else. We're talking about the original Din. The original Din Darait. A Nida does not need any Nakim. She just needs that from the beginning of the bleeding until when she goes to the mikvah, 7 full days have passed.
Okay.
So all you so there doesn't need to be any clean days at all. She could be bleeding every day of those 7 days. As long as it ends sometime before Shkia of the 7th day, she can do a Hefsek Tara.
Every day?
Every day of those 7 days.
Days.
Yes, and nevertheless, at the end of the, after the 7th day, let's say Mukha Shabbos in our case, she can go to the mikvah. That's fine. That's the original Din Darait. Shiva Nakiyim are only necessary if she's a Zavag Doyla, only if there were 3 or more days during the 11 days of Ziva when she had bleeding. Now, so what we're saying is, that, so we started saying that Rav had said that if she's toveling on the 7th day, then of course she can only tovel, she can't tovel during the 7th day, only the night. But if she's toveling any later than that, let's say if she had to delay her tefillah or whatever, then Rav says she could tovel during the day. Rav Yochanan had said that, not Mishum Sach Bita, because then you're going to develop a habit which her daughter is going to misunderstand, that her daughter is going to think. She's going to think that you're able to tovel. Right, she's going to think that you're able to tovel even during the 7th day, and that wouldn't work. It would make for an Issacharis. And we said Rav changed his mind and agreed with Rav Yochanan. So, further in this connection, the Gemara says, asking Rav Idi ben Neresh, Rav Idi made a takana in Neresh, the city in Balva, where he was the Rav, lamitbo b'yoyma d'tmanya, that the women should tovel on the 8th day, during the day, and the reason was mishum al yavosta, because there were lions, that at night, if they went out, they'd be in danger from the lions, so therefore they had no choice but to tovel during the day, so therefore he told them, look, you can't tovel during the 7th day, because then it's not the time for tefillah yet, so for lack of any, because there's no choice, then you're going to have to tovel during the day, so the earliest you can tovel is during the day of the 8th day. Similarly, Rav Acha bar Yaakov of Papunya, Rav Acha bar Yaakov made a similar takana in Papunya, the city where he was the Rav, Mishum Ganvi, because there were thieves. Same problem, at night it was dangerous for women to go out to tovel because of thieves that would mug them. Rav Yehuda b'Pumbedisa, Rav Yehuda made a similar takana in Pumbedisa, Mishum Sina, because it was cold at night. And it would be hard for the women to go out at night to tovel. Rava b'mechuzah, Rava or Rabba, it says on the side over here, Marshal brings Rabba, b'mechuzah made a takana, a similar takana in mechuzah, that they should tovel during the 8th day, mishum abuloi. Because of abuloi, Rashi gives two explanations. One is it means the gatekeepers of the city, they were goyim, so they wouldn't let the women out at night, so therefore they had no choice but to go during the day. The other excellent, of course, he had similar kinds of things in the ghettos in Europe, in Mechuzah Bapashas. They didn't have a ghetto, but same idea. In other words, you know, with a border town or whatever, the guards weren't disposed to let people going out at night. Anyway, that's one explanation. The other explanation is Rashi says Abuloi means caves. There were caves on the way where if a woman is walking there at night and there's no light, she may easily fall and endanger herself. So in all these cases, where because of these situations, then they said the women can tovel during the 8th day, but ordinarily not. Just locally because of these conditions. Amale Rapapa LaRava, so Rapapa asks Rava, or on the side of it here it says Abaya, and Rava actually asks, Mechti, now let's consider, Ha'idnu Kulu Safak Zavas Shabinu Rabban. Nowadays, now we learned on Samach Bavam and Aleph, we learned about what Rav Zera says, that B'nois Yisrael accepted on themselves the Chumrah, that they always consider themselves Zavik. So even if there was only a tiny drop of blood, they consider as if they were a Zavik Dola. So nowadays, women always consider themselves a Zavik Dola, which means, therefore, what does it mean? That you never have, therefore, that they're toveling as early as the seventh day, as early as the night after the seventh day from the bleeding anyway. Because even if they only have Kippus Dam Kachado, we said they need seven clean days. Which means, in other words, let's say that Kippus Dam Kachado, let's say that mustard seed size drop of blood happened sometime during the day on Sunday. So that's not a Yom Tahor. They have to do a Hefsek Tahara Sunday evening before Shkia, as we're going to discuss soon. Then Monday is their first clean day. In other words, if we held by the Dinim of Nida, we would say that the Sunday counts as her first day, right? Because she doesn't need Shiva Nakim. It counts as her first day. Shabbos would be her seventh day, and that's that. Once we count them as Zavos, then we say Sunday does not count. The first of the days is Monday. The last of the days is Sunday, or the following week. So the earliest she can go, so in any case, she's not going to the Mikvah Musa Shabbos, which is the seventh night since the bleeding began. So given that that's the case, so why don't we allow them to tovel during the daytime on the seventh day? What's the harm?
7 days
for Aviziva. Yeah, in other words, forgetting for a second about the fact that we have the 4 or 5 days that we have now before you can even start counting 7 clean days. Let's ignore that. Let's say we're talking just straight. We say she had bleeding on Sunday. We said her 7 clean days can only begin on Monday. Very well, then. A Zava is allowed to tovel during the seventh day. Even when a Zava needs Shiva Nakiyim, even in the technical case, Daraisa, where a woman has bleeding 3 days in succession, and therefore she needs Shiva Nakiyim, the halacha is as we're going to discuss that, actually, but in theory, she should be able to tovel during the seventh day. It's only a Nida and a Yeledes that have to tovel after by night. So given that, why shouldn't the women be able to tovel, in our example, Sunday during the day, no matter how you look at it? If she was a Nida, then she could have toveled already last night. She started Sunday, let's say. So if she was a Nida, she could have already toveled Matzah Shabbos.
Right.
If she's a Zava, even if you're going to consider her a Zava, fine, she's able to tovel Sunday during the day. Why are you making her wait till Sunday night? The answer is Mishum Dirab Shiv.
7 days starts Sunday.
The 7 days starts Monday, because Sunday itself was a day of was a day without a tummy. So you can't count it as one of the 7 clean days. Mm-hmm. So the 7 clean days are Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Shabbos, Sunday. But she should be able to go to the...
How do we make a difference between counting for a Nida the same day as the blood?
For a Nida, you don't need Shiva Nakiyim. That's what I'm saying. For a Nida, all you need is you have to reach the end of the 7 days from when the bleeding started. So it doesn't matter how many days there will be, including, yes, that's the point.
Question.
That's the point. That's how it is. That's how it is. Because by a Nida, you don't need Shiva Nakiyim. All the Pasuk says by a Nida is Shiva Yomim Tehibi Nidasa. She should be for 7 days in her Nida status. And then she goes to the Mikvah and that's that. As opposed to by a Zava, the expression is the entire mizova. Once she's cleansed from her flow, then the sofra la shivas yamim va'achatito. Then she has to count 7 days, and then she's tahor. So therefore, have to be shivin akim. Exactly. That's the point. Right. So this question is again. So nowadays, with this chumrah of Bnos Yisrael, it comes out she's never toveling on the night after the seventh day anyway. The earliest she's toveling is the following day. That being the case, why can't she tovel during the day? Ask your papa. The answer is Mishum de Reb Shimon. Because of what Reb Shimon says, the Tanya, we learn in a Braisa, when the Pasuk says that she has to count 7 clean days achar kitar, and after that she's tahor, we learned this earlier in the Masechtah, it means achar, achar lekolon, it means there has to be one continuous achar of all of them, shalaytei tumah, masechtes beinehen, so there can't be any tumah intervening during those 7 days. If she becomes tamei with nida or zava or shiva zeruch, one second. So that's one meaning of achar, means that there cannot be any interruption during the 7 days. Rav Shimon learns differently. He says achar kitar means achar maise kitar. It means that after the maise has been accomplished, meaning after she's counted the beginning of the seventh day, kitar, she is able to become tahor. In other words, Rav Shimon is saying, the word achar kitar teaches us that right away, once she started counting the seventh day, she could go to the mikvah technically the morning of the seventh day. Aval, but he continues, Omru Chachamim, however, Rav Shimon continues, the Chachamim said, also Lasseth Cain, you're not allowed to do that. Shema Tavri Lidei Sofik, because she may come to a Sofik, because what will happen, suppose, now, the fact is like this, it is true she is allowed to Tovel during the seventh. However, that seventh day is still considered part of her count even after she Tovels. If later that day she has bleeding, it will undo the whole count, and retroactively her tefillah will be possible. The result being, therefore, that in particular, if she would have relations with her husband before, during the daytime there, before the end of the day, and then later on she bleeds, then you have a problem. It turns out, retroactively, he was a boil nidah, or boil zava, whatever. So the Chachamim asked her to tovel during the day. Actually, we learned this earlier in the Masechta. We learned this Braisa earlier in the Masechta, and there Rashi had a different explanation. There Rashi explained that Osu Chachamim Lasseth Cain refers to that she and her husband are not allowed to have relations on that day. Here Rashi is learning it differently, that we're talking about in terms of not even toveling on that day. In other words, that's the point. Technically, in principle, based on the pasuk va'achar tetar, in principle, she could already tovel in our scenario on Sunday, Sunday morning, because it was really the seventh day. However, the Chachamim asked her to do that in case she might bleed later on in the day, and then it'll undo her 7 days and undo her tevilah. Because of that, she has to wait till Sunday night. Once she waits till Sunday night, and she tovels, if she bleeds after that, it doesn't matter. Then it's the beginning of a new nidah cycle. Then it doesn't undo her 7 days of then it doesn't undo her shiva nakim. Exactly.
The question we're asking is
we were asking why we can't allow her to tovel during the day, and the answer is based on what Rav Shimon is saying. And by the way, which is that she's not supposed to tovel during the day because that might lead to complications if later on she bleeds later that day. And by the way,
1 second. Technically she is allowed.
We just said she is allowed, but the Chachamim said she's not allowed.
The
Chachamim made a takana that she should not do that because she might bleed later that day, and it'll turn out that her tefillah was invalid, and she's going to think that it was okay, or she whatever. And she might think I toveled already, so this is a new thing. Whatever, and on top of that, if she has relations with her husband on that day, then it's even worse.
1 second, we said just previously. The
B'nai Yisrael Achmir on them. Forget B'nai Yisrael Achmir on. The original Din D'Araisa is that
you can say also the same thing. There should be Machmir on
them. Okay, listen. The original Din D'Araisa is that when she needs Shiva Nakiyim, she's able to tovel during the seventh day itself. However, the Chachamim answered that. Now that we have B'nai Yisrael Achmir on Asman, and they made it that always they consider themselves Zavos whenever they have bleeding, the same thing. In theory, yes, she should be able to tovel during the day on Sunday in our scenario, because no matter how you look at it, if she was a nidah, she could have already toveled last night. If she's a zava, she could have already toveled this morning. But in case she's a zava, the Chachamim asked her in general to do that because of this problem, because she might bleed later that day, and therefore that's the answer. That's the answer to the papa. That's why she can't tovel during the day on Sunday. That is why she has to wait till Sunday night, because of the takana of the Chachamim. Next, Amar Rav Huna. Now, we talked about before the concept of chafifa. We said there's a din, a sakana of Ezra, that a woman has to do chafifa before she tovels. We talked about there's a machoikas, whether chafifa refers only to the hair of the head, or does it refer to scrubbing or combing or whatever the hair of the head, or does it refer also to hair on other parts of the body, or does it refer more generally to the whole body? Okay, but there is that concept that you need chafifa. So Amar Rav Huna. Isha chafefes be'echad b'shabbos v'tevelos b'shlishi b'shabbos. So Rav Huna says, a woman is allowed to do the chafifa on Sunday during the day and then go and tovel on Tuesday, meaning Monday night. So there's a day and a half between the chafifa and the toveling. It doesn't matter. Because we find an example. Shekin isha chafefes be'erev shabbos v'tevelos b'mitzvah shabbos. Because you have a similar example. Suppose a woman has to tovel matzah shabbos. She can't do the chafifa on Shabbos itself because it involves cleaning and combing and whatever her hair.
Why should you do that during the
week? Okay, one said that's right now, Rav Huna is assuming, if you're able to do that, if we see that you're allowed to do that, when Shabbos intervenes, then you can do it.
That's a big question.
Right, and Rav Huna is assuming that. We're gonna talk about the possibilities with that soon. But right now, we're starting with Rav Huna is saying, once we see, so in that case, you can't do it on Shabbos because it involves malachas, right, either Daraita or Darabanan, therefore, necessarily, she has to do it Erev Shabbos, and that's no problem. She can then go to the mikveh on Motzei Shabbos, even though it's over a day later. The same way, during the rest of the week, the same thing. Similarly, continues Rav Huna, Isha chefefes ve'echa b'Shabbos ve'tevelos b'revi b'Shabbos. By the same token, says Rav Huna, she can do the chafifa on Sunday during the day and then tovel on Tuesday night. So actually, we are going to talk about later, we're going to deal with what the halacha is in all of this, but in the, one aspect of it is, yes, there is the situation, for example, where Shabbos or whatever intervenes, yes, the halacha is she does do the chafifa before Shabbos, she then travels Matzah Shabbos. What she does is, what she has to do is she has to put up her hair in such a way, put in a ponytail or something so that it won't get tangled over Shabbos. Okay. Anyway. I mean, besides all of that, also, we talked about yesterday, and we're going to talk about later on in the sugya, based on different understandings of something later in the sugya, when the proper time is to do the chafifa. But nevertheless, it says in Shulchan Aruch, even on a normal situation where she's doing the chafifa not long before the tefillah, nevertheless, she usually does the chafifa at home. The tefillah, of course, takes place at the mikveh. Take along a comb and comb out her hair one last time before she tovels. Make sure to get out any tangles that might have developed in between. Anyway, Rav Huna is saying that a woman can do the chafifa on Sunday and tovel on Tuesday night. She can isha chafifas be'erev Shabbos v'tevelos mo'tzo yom tov shechali yisachar Shabbos. Because what happens, suppose that a yom tov comes out on Sunday. She can't do the chafifa on Shabbos. She can't do it on yom tov either for the same reason. Necessarily, she's doing the chafifa on Friday and toveling on Sunday night, which is not the yom tov. So the same way, you're allowed to have 2 days and a little bit intervening over there the same way you're allowed to during the rest of the week. And he says yet another one, Isha chafifas ve'echa b'Shabbos v'tevelos v'chamishi b'Shabbos. In fact, she can even do the chafifa on Sunday and tovel on Wednesday night. She can Isha chafifas ve'erev Shabbos v'tevelos m'kloy shnei yom tovim shor Rosh Hashanah shechali yisachar Shabbos. Because what happens if Rosh Hashanah comes out Sunday and Monday? Nowadays it can't, but in those times when they were Makadosh al-Fiyah Re'iyah, it could. So you could have then 3 days in a row. Today it can't be on Sunday and Monday. It could be Thursday and Friday. Right, but you can still, it can fall on Thursday and Friday. You can still have 3 day yom tov that way. Whatever, the point still remains that you can have 3 days intervening, 3 days plus intervening between the chafifa and the tovel and the tevila. So therefore, you allowed that even during the rest of the week. Okay, that's all according to Rav Huna. But Rav Chista says no. Kulu amrinan, I agree with everything you're saying about what happens if it's Shabbos, or if she has to tovel on Shabbos, and on Motzei Shabbos, or on Motzei Yom Tov, or Motzei Rosh Hashanah, or whatever. However, shekein lo amrinan. However, I don't agree with you, Rav Huna, this idea that shekein, because you're able to do it when there's no choice, when Shabbos or Yom Tov intervenes, therefore you should say that you should be able to do it during the rest of the week. No, you don't say that. Hecha de efsher, where it's possible to... So he agrees with the principle, but not that you should apply it to the rest of the week. Hecha de efsher, where it's possible to do the chafifa as close as possible to the tefillah, you need to do it. Hecha de loy efsher, where it's not possible, because if Shabbos and Yom Tov, fine, then you have no choice. Then you have to separate them. Okay, fine. But Rav Yema Omar, Rav Yema says, no. He takes a middle ground. No, we can accept Rav Huna's principle and say shekain, and say once we say that you're allowed to do it when Shabbos or Yom Tov intervenes, then you're also allowed to do it other times. Except, he says, for the case that you're saying that a woman can do the chafifa on Sunday and tovel on Wednesday night. Because you have the situation where there's Shabbos and then 2 days of Rosh Hashanah. No, lesser. Says Rabbi Yemer, no, that one does not apply. There we don't say that she can do the chafifa that far in advance. The efshur chafifas balayla v'tevelas balayla. In that situation, we will say that instead she can do the chafifa at night after Rosh Hashanah and then tovel that night. Usually, yes, we say the chafifa should be done earlier, as we're going to discuss later. Rashi learns later in the sugya that you're not supposed to do the chafifa at night because then you may rush through it. Rashi uses the expression later, muhumo lebesa. We have this earlier in the Masechta, I think, this expression. Muhumo lebesa. She's in a hurry to get home and have relations with her husband. Therefore, if you have her do the chalitza at night, and she knows after all beginning, as early as the beginning of the night, she can tovel, then she's going to rush through the chalitza and not do it properly. As opposed to, she does the chalitza during the day, there's less of an issue. She knows she can't tovel by day anyway, so she'll take her time over it. Over here, though, Rabbi Yemer is saying, so normally I would say, you're right, she has to do the chalitza during the day for that reason. Therefore, if it happens that Shabbos or Yom Tov or whatever is in between, fine, then it means you do it a couple of days early. But to say that you should do it as much as 3 days early, when you have in between Shabbos and 2 days of Rosh Hashanah, then no. In that case, we'll make an exception, let her do the chalitza at night.
Why do we say Rosh Hashanah
Dafka? You actually have these Chachamim are living in Babel. They had Shnei Yom Tov and Shogoliath. They had Yom Tov Shogoliath. They had 2 days of most Yom Tov. But we're focusing on Rosh Hashanah for one thing, because that applies everywhere in the world, even in Eretz Yisrael, and even in Babel. No, because in Eretz Yisrael you only have 1 day of most Yom Tov, only Rosh Hashanah, you have 2 days. But besides that, also, even in Babel, in those times, they didn't always necessarily have 2 days of Yom Tov. It depended whether the Shulchan came there in time. So therefore, so Rabbi Yemer says, for the most part, I can agree with Rav Huna, but I don't agree with this idea of 3 days apart. Even in a case where there is an actual Shabbos and 2 days of Yom Tov in between, you won't do the Chafifa on Erev Yom Tov and then Tovah on Matzah Yom Tov, which is 3 days apart. Instead, she'll just do it at night. Therefore, we have no reason after Yom Tov. Therefore, we have no reason to say that she should ever be able to delay 3 days between. Okay. So, Dorash Marema, so Marema gave a Dorosha in public. Hilchot the Rav Chista b'chidim taras Rav Yema. The halacha is like Rav Chista with the provision of what Rav Yema said. Namely, that Rav Chista is saying, so what we say is, in other words, we're going l'chumra kind of in both ways. We're going l'chumra according to Rav Chista, namely that we don't say because you're allowed to delay 1 or 2 days when Shabbos or Yom Tov intervenes, therefore you're allowed here during the rest of the week. We don't say that. We don't say that chicane. Number two, we also don't say that we also, on the other hand, take Rav Yemer's point that where you have Shabbos followed by 2 days of Yom Tov, or the other way around, whatever, we have a 3 day Yom Tov, that you should be preceding or following, whatever, that you should be able to have 3 days in between, that not. So the halacha, therefore, he's saying is, you always have to have the chafifa is right before the tefillah, with the exception, the chafifa always has to be right before the tefillah. If Shabbos or 2 day Yom Tov is in between, then fine, you can have 1 or 2 days in between, but you can never have 3 days in between, and therefore, if you have a 3 day Yom Tov, then yes, you have to do the chafifa at night before, you have to do the chafifa at night before she totals, rather than 3 days early. And furthermore, we take Rav Chista's view that we don't say because you can have 1 or 2 day delays sometimes, therefore you can do a 1 or 2 delay whenever whenever you want. No, you don't do that either.
Well, that's the problem because, I mean,
what do you mean it's a problem?
Yom Tov, she wants to be with her husband.
Okay. But what we're saying, let me repeat. If there is a Shabbos in between, then fine. She does the chafifa on Friday and tovels not the Shabbos. If it's 2 days, also fine. If it's 3 days, then no, you can't do that. Then you have to tell her that it's true. You want to be able to tovel as fast as possible and get home. However, because it was a 3 day Yom Tov, you can't have done the chafifa 3 days ago. You have no choice. You're going to have to do the chafifa now and be careful about it and then tovel only after that. And also, all of this is only when there's Shabbos or Yom Tov involved, not just down to delay the chafif from the chafifa to the tefillah, like Rav Huna was saying.
Right.
Okay. We're going to discuss later, actually, whether, in fact, the halacha is, in the end, like the statement of Maremas. We'll get to that later. Okay.
Well, not necessarily.
We'll see. Iboyelahu. Now we have a further question. Isha ma'usha tochof balayla b'titva balayla. Can the woman, in general, do the chafifa at night on the night when she has to tovel, and then tovel later that night? Do we say again that she's in a rush to tovel, so she may rush the chafifa, or do we not? So, Mazutra also for Rav Chinen and Masura Shari. Rav Zutra says it's also for that reason, she may rush through it and not do a good job. Rav Chinen and Masura says it's mutter. Amale Rav Ada Rav Chinen and Masura, so Rav Ada asked Rav Chinen and Masura, I have a contradiction against you that you're saying that you're allowed to do that. I'm gonna prove a contradiction to you from the following case. Actually, Agoras Habach changes it to he's asking Mazutra. Okay, Lav Hochi Hava Uta, wasn't there a situation, Bidvesu de Abamori Resh Kolosa, involving the wife of Abamori the Resh Kolosa? The Resh Kolosa, as we know, was the governor of the Jewish people in Babel. So his wife one time, the Ikut, she one time was having a fight with her husband, and therefore when it came time for her to Tovel, she didn't want to go Tovel because she didn't want to be with her husband. Also, Rav Nachman took the payusa. So Rav Nachman went to talk her out of it and reconcile her with her husband. But Omrelay, so when he came to, but the reason why Rav Nachman Yitzchak did that, we find in a number of places in Shas that he was related to the Rosh Galusa. So therefore, B'pashtus, then he was a family member. So therefore, well, not so much he's a powerful person, but the more, I mean, he was one of the great Chachamim. But more to the point is also he was related to the Rosh Galusa, and therefore they figured they can have him intervene. Okay. But Omrele, so when he came to talk to her, she says to him, you actually have a machlokas Rashi in Tosfos in Giffin, I think it is, whether when we say Rav Nachman unspecified in the Gemara, does it mean Rav Nachman by Yitzchak or does it mean Rav Nachman by Yaakov? Rashi learns that Stam Rav Nachman in the Gemara is or Rav Nachman by Yitzchak. Tosfos says that not. It's actually Rav Nachman by Yaakov of a generation or two earlier. Okay, anyway. But Omrelay, so Rav Nachman says, so she says to Rav Nachman, my Issei Hashta, what are you doing? What are you rushing to come to me tonight? No, she's saying to Rav Nachman, who's coming to try and reconcile her with her husband and get her to Tovel. So she's telling him, what's your hurry that you bothered coming tonight? You might as well go away, but I see Lamacher and come back tomorrow. Meaning, in other words, that she's saying, in effect, I'm willing to Tovel tomorrow. I can Tovel tomorrow night, but I can't Tovel tonight. The Yoda Maika Amrele, so he understood the hint, what she was saying. She was implying by that she had not done the Chafifa. So she was saying, look, I know the Halacha, that the Chafifa has to be done during the day, as Mazutra was saying, that you can't do it by night. So therefore, by now you came to talk to me, it's already night. It's too late for me to do the Chafifa anyway. All we can do is fine. I'll do the chafifa. Fine. I'm willing to listen to you. I'm willing to go back to my husband. But the earliest I can do the chafifa is tomorrow afternoon, and then I'll tell you well tomorrow night.
Nothing to do with the argument.
Well, in other words, you're saying if it hadn't been for the argument, I would have done the chafifa earlier today, and then I would have told you well tonight. Now that there was the argument, it's too late. Yeah, I can't do the chafifa anymore. Omar. So Rav Nachman says to her, why can't you do the chafifa? Dudi chasarta. Are you lacking kettles to be able to warm up hot water? Tashtiki chasarta. Are you lacking? Dudi means kettles, yeah, kettles or samovars or whatever to warm up water. By the way, Tosfos brings this earlier in the sugya when we discussed the question what chafifa is. Does it mean only scrubbing and combing her hair, or does it mean the whole rest of her body? Tosfos says here is a proof that apparently it refers to the whole body. If we're just talking about the head, why do you need kettles of hot water for it? One little bit of hot water is enough for the purpose. A head doesn't take that. One would be quite enough. Why do you need multiple? Tosfos says that it's not a complete proof, though, because the other possibility is that maybe he's talking about kettles of hot water, not so much to wash her whole body, but rather to warm up the mikveh. Remember, in those days, they didn't have heated mikveh. They didn't have heat. The connection is that when it comes to the actual toveling, in other words, he's telling her. But the fact of the matter is, he's telling her what makes you think you can't tovel right now. If it's he's going to say, as far as the chafifa, you have what to do the chafifa. You don't even need to prepare much for it, let's say. And as far as the toveling, you're worried about the mikveh is going to be cold. Fine, you have plenty of kettles of hot water. You can easily have your people boil them up and pour them into the mikveh to warm it up. Also, he tells you, Tashtiki Chasarta, are you lacking stools to be able to sit on them while you're preparing for the mikveh? Or Tosfos brings over there an explanation from Reb Sadia, I guess Reb Sadia going, that Tashtiki means combs, to comb her hair. And Avdi Chasarta, he says, are you lacking slaves to be able to bring water and boil it up and do whatever you need? In other words, the point is, he's telling her that you could just as well do the chafifa right now. So that's the question. Why is Mazutra saying you're not allowed to if apparently we see from the story that you are allowed to? Okay. So continues the discussion.
No,
well, wait. Dorash Rava, Isha Chetzefet Be'erev Shabbos, V'Tevelos B'Metzoy Shabbos. Rava one time gave a drosha in public where he said a woman is allowed to do a chafifa on Erev Shabbos and Tovel on Motzei Shabbos, like we were saying before, because you can't do it on Shabbos itself, and we're not going to have her do it Motzei Shabbos. Amalei Rav Papa L'Rava, so Rav Papa says to Rava, how could you say that? V'hasholach Ravin B'Igarte, Ravin from a previous generation, he was one of the Chachamim who traveled back and forth between Eretz Yisrael and Babel, so, but anyway, he sent a letter that said as follows, Isha loy tochel for Erev Shabbos for Tichu b'Motzei Shabbos. A woman is not allowed to do the Chafifa on Erev Shabbos and then Tovel on Motzei Shabbos because it's too far apart. And he says, of course you can't do it that far apart. Utma al asmacha. Because he says, after all, think about it. You have to wonder for yourself. Heyach chesefet v'yom tevelos v'layla. If in general, how could she do the Chafifa during the day and Tovel by night? Don't we have to have that the chafifa takes place as close as possible to the tevila? So in other words, the point is that Ravin is saying it was difficult enough for the chachamim to allow to do the chafifa during the day, and the only reason to do that was because, as he said, because otherwise she's going to be in a hurry. If you tell her to begin with to do it at night, she's going to be in a hurry because she wants to tovel as fast as possible. Once it's night, she's able to tovel and get home. So therefore, fine, because there's no choice in the matter, therefore the Chachamim allow her to do the Chafifa during the day in order to prevent that problem where she'll do it in too much of a hurry and not do a good job. But to allow it a whole day before, that not. In that case, if there's a Shabbos in between, she's going to have to do it Motzei Shabbos. So the Papa says to Rava, what are you saying that she's able to do it, she's able to do the Chafifa on Friday and Tovel on Motzei Shabbos? We see from this letter, Robin says in this letter that not. It's bad enough to do it during the day and then tovel at night. That's just the least worst option, because the alternative would be to do it at night and then she might rush through it. But when it's a whole day before, then you can't do that. Hodur uki Rava amura levedorash. So after Rava heard what Rav Papa said, he realized, you're right, I have to change my mind. So he set up an amura to stand in front of him, to announce what he's going to say to the public, the Darash and Igarshin, Dvorim Shamarti Lifnechem Torah Sein B'yadi. What I said to you before was a mistake. We find in a number of places in Shas where Rava, another Chachamim, this is Modal Amos. This is one of the things of a Chacham in Pirkei Avos. When he realizes that he's wrong, then he's not ashamed to admit it in public. So Rava puts up an amoda to make sure that what he says is going to be heard and understood as widely as possible. Yes, what I said was a mistake. You can't do the chafifa on Friday when you're going to be toveling on Motzei Shabbos. Bram tach omu mishmeid Rabbi Yechanan. Indeed, this is what was said in the name of Rabbi Yechanan, namely what Ravin said. Isha lo tochel for Erev Shabbos for Tzitzbom Motzei Shabbos. She's not allowed to do the chafifa on Friday and tovel on Motzei Shabbos. Utma al asmacha heyach chafifas v'yem tevelos b'layla. As it is, you have to wonder how b'chlal you're allowed to do the chafifa. That was a different opinion. But wait, what we're saying over here is that before we said... Okay, one second. So Rava is saying, based on what Robin is saying, that this is kind of the last word on the subject, but wait, we'll get back to that soon. As it is, it's hard enough to understand how you can do the chafifa by day and tovel by night, because it should be as close as possible, but certainly not Hobain and Samoch Chafifa Tevila, the Lekka. Don't you have to have the Chafifa should be as close as possible to the Tevila, and then you don't have it. So therefore, it's a mistake to say that you can do the Chafifa on Erev Shabbos. Okay. Now, what's the bottom line halacha? The Gemara says, V'huchsa isha chetetet b'yem tevelos b'layla. There's a halacha that a woman is able to do the Chafifa by day and then tovel the following night. But also the hilchta isha, meaning the same night, the same night. So we're not talking about the Shabbos. Well, whatever. In other words, she does the chafifa. Let's say Wednesday during the day, and tovel's Wednesday night. Yeah. The hilchta isha leitochof ela balayla. But then there's another halacha that says that a woman is only able to do the chafifa at night. So the question is, elakasha hilchta hilchta. So you have a contradiction between the two statements of halacha. So wait, actually, before we get to that, let's deal with the question. Yeah, so you're saying, so what about, so you're asking, what is Rava saying that's a mistake to say that you can delay from Friday to Shabbos when we said before that...
They set it up this way.
Right. So, okay, so... Tosfos has a long discussion about this. First of all, the question is, b'chlal. Well, I mean, you know what? Let's learn the lines of Gemara over here. Then we'll talk about this whole point. Okay. So kasha hilchsa hilchsa. You have a contradiction between the two halachas. The answer is like kasha hoda efsher hoda like efsher. One is talking about where it's possible. One is talking about where it's not possible. Now, what does it mean, efsher and loy efsher? Rashi explains where it's possible to do the chafifa by day, then she should do it by day, where it's, meaning where there's no Shabbos or anything in between, but where it's not possible, for example, where it comes out Motza Shabbos, then she should do it by night because then you shouldn't be doing the chafifa so far in advance. Now, Rashi is following his shita in that, which is that the Gemara is saying, that the bottom line is the Gemara is saying, the best way to do it in general is that the chafifa should be during the day. The ideal way to do it is the chafifa should be during the day, Rashi says, because again, then she'll do it without being rushed because she knows she can't tovel during the day anyway. Then she should tovel at night. So therefore, what the Gemara is saying is if she's able to tovel by day, if she's able to do the chafifa by day, then good, that's the normal circumstance. If you're going to have too long between the chafifa and the tevilah, if she does it by day, for example, from Friday to Motzei Shabbos, then we're saying she shouldn't. That's how Rashi was. Then she should just do it Matzah Shabbos. Tosfos brings, first of all, from Shiltus that learns the other way around. That says, Shiltus learns that the preferable way is to do the Chafifa at night. Shiltus learns exactly the opposite of Rashi. The preferable way is to do the Chafifa at night.
She's not going to do it well.
Rashi mentioned that point. The Gemara didn't mention that point. Rashi mentioned the Shiltus is one of the Goyanim. The Goyanim and the Rishonim, as far as halacha is concerned, are on an equal level. They can argue with each other. So there's the Shiltus lives a few hundred years before Rashi. So he lived in Babel. He's one of the Goyanim. Anyway, so he learns the other way around. That the ideal way is to do the Chafifa by night. When it's not possible to do it by night. For example, if the night which is going to be toveling is, let's say, Friday night or Yom Tov night or whatever, then she should do it during the day.
So
should be done by night. So far, how does this fit before with what we said about the halacha is like Rav Chista and like Rav Yemar? So we said over there that if you have Shabbos or Yom Tov in between, then she should do the chafifa early, and then so Rashi would understand that even though we said before the halacha is like Rav Chista and like Rav Yemar,
right.
We're saying that our Gemara overrides that. That our Gemara overrides that, and we're saying that, or not so much overrides that, but we're talking about, let's say, for example, that case before is talking about, let's say she has to tovel on Matzah Shabbos, which happens to also be Yom Tov. Given that she can't do the chafifa on the night of the toveling or on the day before, and we don't want her to miss her oina with her time with her husband, therefore we'll allow her in that case to do it ahead of time, to do it on Friday,
during the day,
so that she can tovel on Matzah Shabbos going into Yom Tov, but ordinarily not. According to Shiltus, we would say that it fits with the fact before, that ordinarily you're supposed to do it by night, but where she can't do it by night, because, for example, it's Friday night, then she can do it during the day.
So that's one second.
So we have Rashi versus we have Shiltus, and then we have Tosfos brings from Rabbi Natan, who has yet another explanation of the Gemara. The bottom line halacha is, I mentioned yesterday, that what we ordinarily do is we have her do the chafifa starting during the day and continuing into the beginning of the night. That way we're yotze to both Rashi's opinion and Shiltus' opinion. Rashi says it's better to do it during the day. The Shiltus says that's better when it's not Shabbos or Yom Tov. When it's Shabbos or Yom Tov, then we say that we are allowed in the end. We do say, not like what Rava was saying, and like Ravin was saying, that you can't possibly do it a day in advance. You could do it a day in advance if it comes to that. So you do it then Friday afternoon, and she tovels Matzah Shabbos or Matzah Yom Tov or whatever. And in that case, what we say is, fine, she should, put up her hair so it doesn't get tangled, take along a comb with her, and comb it out one last time before she travels.
Why don't we just have a do the chafifa moitzei Shabbos.
Because doing the chafifa takes time. And again, as Rashi was saying, mohum alabesa, however much time it takes. I mean, ordinarily, nowadays, in the Makaros, they usually allow an hour for preparation. So, it takes time. You have to keep in mind, especially once we say that the chafifa includes not just her hair, but also her whole body, and we learned before there has to be, softening scabs and different other kinds of things. So it takes time to actually scrub herself and then prepare herself.
Additional thing after Shabbos Yontif, she meant to be tired. She
well, that may be also. I mean, there's other considerations also, because for example, another point that comes up in halacha in this regard is on Shabbos and Yontif, you usually eat meat. And meat tends to get stuck between the teeth, and that would be a chatitza.
Right.
So you actually have an issue then on such a Shabbos. Suppose that a woman is going to be toveling Masa Shabbos, and she did the chafifa on Friday. Should she be eating meat that Shabbos? Or, so if she can avoid it, that would obviously be better. If not, then she'll have to brush and floss her teeth very, very carefully.
It's not any meat.
No, but primarily,
food.
Okay, but sticky food, I guess also, but meat, and primarily because you eat meat on Shabbos, yeah. Okay. All right, so that's the bottom line halacha. So normally you do the chafifa during the day and continue it into the beginning of the night,
and that satisfies
both opinions. And then she tovels in the night,
right,
and that satisfies both opinions.
Right.
Where it's not possible to, because for example, it's Friday going into Shabbos or whatever, then she does the chafifa on Friday and goes and tovels Masa Shabbos, and maybe does a quick touch-up or whatever on Masa Shabbos to make sure that everything is still clean and untangled and whatever. And if it's not possible, if there's no way, for whatever reason, she can't do the chafifa, if she can't do the chafifa in the day and be going into the night, then she's able to do it at night or all in the day, according to one or the other opinion.
Swami never said that she should have short hair, did he?
No.
Because
no.
That would decrease a lot.
Maybe, but there's right. Mishnah says, and there are groups of chassidim where they have the women keep their hair short, partly because of these issues. But Mishnah says, Nida shabodka asma yom shvi shachris. Suppose a nida checked herself on the seventh day in the morning. So again, keep in mind that a nida does not need shiva nikiyim on a daraisa level. It's only because of chumra d'rabzeira that they do.
As you said,
she can be bleeding every single
day.
So suppose she checked on the morning of the seventh, umasa tahora, and at that point she found that she's tahor, she found that the bleeding has stopped. Ubeina shmoshes loy hifrisha. Now though, suppose that later on that same day, beina shmoshes, and beina shmoshes over here doesn't mean as it usually does between shkia and seis, because she has to do the hefsekara before shkia. It means close to the end of the day. So close to the end of the day, loy hifrisha, she did not make a second bedika to be what's called mafrish v'tahara, or this is what we call nowadays hefsek tahara. We say that a woman at the end of her bleeding days, when she's going to be starting to count her 17 days, she needs to do a hefsek tahara. That's what our Mishnah is calling hifrisha. So suppose that she checked in the morning, but she didn't check later that day before Shkia. But it's a bedikah to be mafrish, to distinguish between the days that are tameh and the days that are tahor. Because remember, if she checks in the morning, it could be that she finds it clean. But that doesn't necessarily mean there might not have been bleeding later on that same day. That's the point that our Mishnah is going to be getting to. After all, she needs 7 full days before she's able to go to the mitzvah. So the bedikah at the end of the day is to be mafrish v'tahara, is to distinguish, is to separate, up until now I was tameh, and now I'm going into a state of tahara. And as soon as Tzeitzah Kachavim comes, I'm going to tovel, and then that's that. So like this, she checked in the morning, found that she was tahor. Ubeina shmoshes loy hifrisha. She did not then do a hefsek tahara before shkia that day. A few days later, she checked and found that she's tameh. She found there's blood there again. The din is she has a chazaka of being tahor during the days in between. So therefore, in other words, so what happened? She had right. In other words, so what we're saying is, let's say, so she started bleeding. Let's say, who you may need to begin on Sunday.
Okay.
We said Motzei Shabbos is when she tovels. So we said Shabbos morning, let's say, she did a bedikah, found that it was tahor. She didn't do a hefsek tahara Shabbos afternoon. Motzei Shabbos, she toveled. Then let's say Monday, she checks and finds blood. No problem. We can assume that that blood came on Monday. It's part of Huyumei Ziva. We don't assume that it actually started during the daytime on Shabbos, in which case her tevila on Motzei Shabbos would have had no effect. And therefore, we say any taras that she handled in between, when she toveled on Motzei Shabbos and when she found this blood on Monday, are tahor. But Suppose, on the other hand, she checked on the seventh day in the morning and found that she was tummy, then she did not do a hefsek tara on the seventh day in the afternoon. Later on, a few days later, she checked and found herself tahor. No good. She has a chazaka of being tomei because the fact that she found in the morning of the seventh that she was tomei, we have to assume, therefore, that that status continued onward. And therefore, when she went to the mikvah on Matzah Shabbos, no good. She was still bleeding. And therefore, yes. Yeah. So therefore, so she's still considered Becheskes Meir.
She checked in the evening.
Had she checked in the evening.
Blood in the morning, and she found herself to be clean.
Then it would have been good. That would have been a Hefsek Tara. That would have been
a
perfect.
It's not a full day.
That doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. As long as it stops sometime before the end of the seventh day, we said she's good.
Fenida.
That was all not Fenida. Zaba is different. We're not talking about Zaba. Right now we're dealing with Nida. Yeah. Okay. So therefore, so yes, she has a Becheskes Meir. So therefore, she has a chazaka of Tomei that we have to assume that the whole time from Motzei Shabbos until Monday when she found it, that she was actually Tomei. Okay.
Are you guys
Right now, we're learning, so talk to us later. Okay. But continues the Mishnah. Referring back to the first part of the Mishnah, where we said that she did a bedikah on the seventh day, found it to her, didn't do a hefsek tara. Later on, she found blood. So then, the usual rule will... Then the usual rule that we learned at the beginning of the Masechta will apply, that she's retroactively tomei miskafet for up to 24 hours or back to the last bedikah before this blood. So she finds out, let's say, Monday morning, so she's tomei miskafet back to Sunday morning, and the taras that she handled from Sunday morning to Monday morning are safek tomei. Or if she did a bedikah, let's say sometimes Sunday afternoon, then it would only be back to Sunday afternoon. That she'd have this. Okay. We can say there's a chazaka that her nidah stopped and her tevila was a valid tevila. And now this is during her Yimei Ziva. The chiddush of it is, in other words, that even though it's during her Yimei Ziva, and during Yimei Ziva she's not expected to bleed, nevertheless, we don't say that that's like Mesulekas Domim. We don't say like that's one of the cases we learned about in the first paragraph of a woman who has a chazaka of not menstruating currently, where then we say Gaya Shaita, where we say then it's enough to consider her tomei from when we found the blood. No, because even though it's true that during the 11 days it's not normal for her to bleed, she's not Mesulekas Domim. She's on a regular basis, right. Okay, so therefore the usual mess lies from a kid look at her place. Continues the mission of Im Yeshla Vest, Daya Shaita. If though she has a regular Vest Kavua, then we say the usual rule applies, Daya Shaita, as we learned in the first parak, that we don't consider her tummy retroactively because we assume Urach Vizmane Ba, though the blood comes as normal expected scheduled time. Okay, now we said earlier in the Mishnah that the case was that she didn't do the Hefsek Tara Bein HaShemoshes towards the end of the day. So Rabbi Yehuda says, if she didn't do the Hefsek Tara from Mincha and onward, then she has a Chazaka of being Tomei. What minam mincha olamayla is, there's a few different explanations among the Rishonim what it means. Does it mean, usually minam mincha olamayla means from mincha ptana onwards, sometimes it even means from mincha gdola onwards. Some of the Rishonim say, though, that Rabbi Yehuda means, when he says minam mincha olamayla, he also means similar to the Tanakhama, bein hashmoshes, meaning very close to the end of the day, shortly before Shkia. The actual halacha that we have nowadays in Shulchan Aruch is that the Hefsek Tara should be done fairly close to Shkia, but in a pinch it can be done any time after Plaga Mincha. That's close enough to Shkia already that it can be done then.
Plaga Mincha is
1 1/4 Shoah Zmanias before Shkia. So let's say on an ideal 6-6 day, where Shoah Zmanias is exactly an hour, then Plaga Mincha would be 4:45. This time of year, let's say, this time of year here in New York, where Nest is around 7 and Shkia is around 4, then Plaga Mincha would come out to about 3, give or take.
From 7 to...
Whatever, it's 11, so it's 10 3/4 Shoah Zmanias from the beginning of the day. Here, looking at this over here.
Yeah.
Yeah, 10 3/4 hours. You know, let's say for example here, today sunrise, today Netzachama was 7:19, Shkia was 4:37. So you divide that into 12. It comes out to about 48 minutes or so to a Shal Zmanis. Plaga Mincha comes out 3:43 p.m. So 54 minutes before Shkia.
Plaga
Mincha is half of the time of Mincha Kana. Minchas Kana runs for 2.5 shows money. The Plaga Mincha is half of that, 1.25 shows money.
Okay.
So anyway, so the point is that Rabbi Yehuda is saying, not like the Tanakama, who said that if she didn't do a Hesitara, then as long as she found it clean in the morning, then she's okay. Rabbi Yehuda disagrees with that. The only valid time to be doing it is Min HaMincha Olamayla, according to these various definitions. The Chum say no. After the B'shnayim L'nidasa Bodko Masa Tahora. Never mind what the Tanakama had said that we're talking about Davka if she checked on the seventh day. That was the Tanakama said that it has to be Davka the seventh day. He just said it could be even in the morning. The Chachamim over here represent a third opinion. They're saying no. Even if she checked on the second day of her nidus, Bodko Masa Tahora, and she checked and found that she was Tahor, Obeina Shmashas Lohi Frisha, then she didn't do a Hestatara on the seventh day, Bein HaShemoshes, Ola Achazman Bodko Motza Tmeya, and later on she found herself Tomei, HaReza B'chazka Tahara. We still say she has a Chazaka of being Tahara from when she went to the Mikvah. The Tanakama had said only on the seventh day. According to the Tanakama,
the second day?
Right. In other words, the first day not, because the first day is called Mayan Pasuach. She has a Chazaka the whole first day that the wellspring is open, and even if she checks at one point and finds no blood, there's a high likelihood it's going to continue later that day. But the last Chachamim in the Mishnah was saying, from the second day and onward, it's not necessarily Mayan Pasuach anymore. Any time from the second day onward where she does a Bedikah and finds it clean, then the Chachamim are saying she's allowed to use that as a basis to say that she was Tahor for the whole rest of the 7 days, and then at the end of the 7 days, she can go to the Mikvah.
Even if that Bedikah is on the seventh day? From the second to the seventh.
If that Bedikah was on the seventh day, the Tanakama would agree it's good also.
Okay,
so you have three opinions over here. You have the Chachamim at the end of the Mishnah are the most lenient. They say any time she did a Bedikah from the second day and onward, if it came out clean and she didn't do any further Bedikah after that, we're allowed to rely on it and say that she remained Tahor. She has a Cheskas Tahara, and therefore she can go to the Mikvah as scheduled, in our example, Motzei Shabbos. The Rabbi Yehuda, on the other hand, is the most machmir. He says the only valid bedikah for that purpose is one that she does on the seventh day, mina mincha olamayla, late in the day. The Tanakama takes a middle ground. He says I can't say that she can do the bedikah as early as the second day, but I can say she can do the bedikah any time on the seventh day, even in the morning, not just mina mincha olamayla, like Rabbi Yehuda says.
So the Tanakama and Rabbi Yehuda, they differ by a few hours, nevertheless.
Yeah. Whereas the Chachamim are saying even the second day.
The halacha is like...
Hold on. Who the halacha is like, we'll get to on our day. Okay. So the Gemara says, Isma. Rav Omer Zobah Vadai. Now, we have a machlokes. We have to see. We're going to have to figure out. But first, let's present the machlokes. We have to figure out which case is this machlokes referring to. Rav says that she's definitely a Zobah. The Levi Omer Zobah Safet. The Levi says she's only a Zobah Misafet. So the question is, hey, which part of the Mishnah is this Machlokas referring to? Ilema Aresha, is it referring to the Resha, the case where she did a Bedikah the morning of the seventh day and found that the Tahor, and then Bein HaShemoshes did not do a Hefetara, and we said later on, a few days later, she finds blood, we say she has a Chazakah of Tahor. So what do you mean? The Mishnah had said that she has a Chazakah of being Tahor. So okay, now there's blood. So fine, we can say that fine, she's a Zovah Kana. But why would we say that she's a Zovah Vadai versus Safek? We would have to say she's a Zovah Vadai because we're assuming, we said in the Resha, we're assuming that her Tevila for her Nida was valid. This is new blood that came after that. In that case, then she's a Zovah Vadai, a Zovah Kana, because it was only one day. But yeah, so how could the Machlokes be referring to that case? Ella Asefa. So evidently, evidently it has to be referring to the second case of the Mishnah, where she did the Bedikah on the morning of the 7th and found that she was Tomei, and then didn't do a Hesekata Bedikah later that day. And then a few days later, she finds blood. So we said in the Mishnah that we assume that she's been Tomei the whole time. So now we can say, so the question is, Mishnah is Sofik Zava Amrinan. So, okay, we can say that definitely we can say that definitely we can say she's a sofer k'zava. Sure, because it might have been, since she didn't do a hefsek tara, so maybe it might have been already, she might have been. She might have been bleeding continuously on the 8th, 9th, and 10th, and now she's a zava k'zava. Ella zava vadai, nami, but what do you mean, how could she possibly be a zava vadai, hare bodko mosa tara? After all, after the days have passed, she did do a bedikah and found herself tara. So you can't say that it was continuous. You can't say that it was continuous during all these 3 days.
Which would be the only.
Which would be the rest of the Zavavada. Right. So the Gemara says you're right. Ela ki itmar de Rav Levi shmeite ba'afe nafshi. You're right. This machlokus of Rav and Levi does not actually refer to either of the cases in our Mishnah at all. It's an independent machlokus. It's a machlokus about an independent case that's not dealt with in our Mishnah. Namely, itmar that it was said. Namely, nida shabodka asma b'yema shvi shach with the motzat meir. So it's similar to one of the cases of our Mishnah, but not identical. She did a bedikah the morning of the 7th and found that she was tomei. Obeina shmoshes lo hifrisha. Then we said that, I think I misstated when we were learning in the Mishnah. I misstated the second case of the Mishnah was actually she had done the bedikah on the 7th and found that she was tomei. We said beina shmoshes lo hifrisha. Then we said a few days later she found that she was tahor. Nevertheless, we say Harezi Bechazka Smeya because the fact that she I misstated it when I read the Mishnah. So the case is, in other words, so again, the first case of the Mishnah was she did a bedikah in the morning of the 7th, found that she was tahor, didn't do a hefsek tara, a few days later found that she's tamei. Then we can assume the blood started at some later point. The second case, though, is where she did a bedikah the morning of the 7th, found that she was still tamei, found that she was still bleeding, didn't do a hefsek tara. A few days later, does a bedikah and find that she's tahor. Nevertheless, so we can say, okay, very nice, now you're tahor, but we don't know what you were from the morning of the 7th until now. Therefore, we assume that she's tamei.
Right.
So that was the case. So that's what we said. We can't say that the machlokas of Rav and Levi applies to that, because given that a few days later she did find she's tahor, there's no way she could be a sofer k'zava. There's no way she could be a sofer k'zava, maybe she could be, but a zava vadai she surely can't be, because she obviously didn't bleed for 3 days in succession.
Right.
So therefore, so now
I mistakenly
said in the Mishnah that a few days later she checked and found that she was tamei. So that's actually the case that we're going to deal with now in the Gemara. So let's say we have a case like this. Bodka asma b'yemeshvi shachos amosat meir. She checked in the morning of the 7th and found that she was tamei. Ubeina shmoshes lo hifrisha. She did not do a hefsek tara towards the evening of before shkia of the 7th. Ulacha yom bodka amosat meir. Then a few days later, she also finds that she's tamei. So now the question is, was it continuous? Rav Amar Zava Vadai. The Levi Amar Zava Sof. So what's the machlokes? Because Rav Amar Zava Vadai, kiven de me'ikra nimtzes tmeya v'achshav nimtzes tmeya, given that on the 7th she checked and found that she was tamei, and now also a few days later then she checked and found that she was tamei, tmeya vadai, where there's a high likelihood that she was actually bleeding the whole time. So let's say, in other words, so again, one or the other, as the case may be. The example I gave is she found the blood on Monday, let's say. If, let's say, instead she found it on Tuesday, then Rav would say there's a high likelihood that she's been continuously bleeding from, she was still bleeding on Shabbat, and also Sunday, and also Monday, and also Tuesday, so she's a Zavak Zavak. The Levi, I'm a Suffolk Zavak, aim a Pascha Beni or Beni. Levi says she's still only a Suffolk Zavak. Because, yes, fine, she found she was Tomei on Shabbat, she found she was Tomei on Tuesday, but it wasn't necessarily continuous the whole time. Maybe it's not, sometime in between. So she's only a Suffolk Zavak. Okay. The Chain Tonal Levi B'masnissa, Levi also taught this way in his Braisa, where Levi had a collection of Braisas that referred to the Mishnah, like Rav Chiya and Rav Oshia wrote the Tosefta. Levi wrote his own collection of Braisas that explained the Mishnah. Achar hayomim, after the 7 days have passed, bein bodko mosa tahora, bein bodko mosa tmeya, whether a few days later she checks and finds that she's tamei, or whether she finds she's tahor, harez a sofer k'zava, either way she's a sofer k'zava, because it can never be a vadeh, because you don't know what may have stopped in between. Right. The Rambam, interestingly, passed things like Rav over here. And they ask the question, the Noter Kelim on the Rambam ask the question, usually we have a rule, when you have a machlokas Rav and Levi, usually the halacha is like Levi. So why here is the Rambam passing like Rav, that she's a vadeh zava, and therefore she would have to go to Korban? And there's an interesting answer given, I think, by the Maharik. he says that these rules that we say, when we say the halacha is like so-and-so, only apply to machlokasim that are negeya nowadays. This machlokas is not negeya nowadays, because you said before, all women are considered a zava misafik anyway, so it's never relevant whether she's a nidra or a zava safik or a zava vade. Either way, she needs 7 clean days. It's only relevant as far...
She needs 7 clean days, but we consider them a zava vade?
We consider... No, but the point is, it doesn't matter. The point is she needs 7 clean days regardless. So then we consider her a safik, let's say, but fine, she still needs the 7 clean days. It's only negeya as far as does she bring a korban or not. Korbanas are not applicable. A reader can't bring korbanas nowadays. Therefore, the Rambam can well pass them like that. Okay. Continue the mission.
That's going to change when
Mashiach comes. So when Mashiach comes, the Sanhedrin can revisit it. Then we said, we said that in the case where we said that if she finds blood, we said that if she finds blood a few days later, so we said the usual rule of Me'es L'Kidda applies, that retroactively up to 24 hours or to the last vehicle, we consider her Tamei Misafik. So the Gemara says, Lema Tevet Yufta de Rava. Would we have to say that our Mishnah is a contradiction to Rava? The Omar Rava, we learned back in the 4th Perek, we had a Mishnah over there that said during the 11 days of Ziva, she has a Cheskas Tara, and we have 4 or 5 different opinions what exactly that means. And Rava had said over there it means that if she has a flow of blood during those 11 days, we don't apply the rule of Me'es L'Esem of Kiddel of Kiddel. We say Daya Shaita. So in that, we consider her only Tommy from now and onward, from when the blood was discovered and onward, not retroactively. Our Mishnah seems to contradict that. Rava had said that the Mishnah there was implying that during the 11 Yemei Ziva, we don't say Mas Les Mepkida Lepkida, we only say she's Matamah from now onward, Daya Shaita. Our Mishnah seems to contradict that. So what do you need a contradiction to Rava for? The Lav Usvinya La Rava Chodazimna, we already had a contradiction to Rava over there. We brought a Bryce over there that explicitly said that a Zava or Shemeret Yen Tenegad Yoin are Mas Les Mepkida Lepkida. So we refuted Rava that way. Why do we care if our Mishnah refutes him also?
It means
retroactively, 24 hours, to the last kiddo, 24 hours, as the case may be, for the reason that we said at the beginning of the Masechta, because the Chacham made Takana, she's supposed to be doing bedikas twice a day, and she was careless, and therefore we penalize her, and because maybe the blood started coming out up to 24 hours ago and was held back by the vaginal walls. Yeah. The answer is Hokikam, and yes, but what we're saying is, why are we bringing our Mishnah, Lema Tevet Yufta Dirava Nami Meha? Would we have to say that our Mishnah also contradicts Dirava? Now, what's the relevance of it? First of all, maybe we could find some way to answer that braisa, according to Rava, but we would still have our Mishnah. And the Orach Haner points out also, it's one thing if Rava is contradicted by a braisa. Fine, it's not so bound. Because, okay, the Amoraim are not expected to know all the braisas. But if Rava is contradicted by an explicit Mishnah, then we got to ask, what was Rava thinking? He knows all the Mishnayas. Yeah. The answer is Amalach Rava. The answer is Rava can answer that I have a way of explaining our Mishnah in a way that doesn't contradict me. Ki katoni matama me'es. Rava would say the part of our Mishnah that talks about me matama me'es is not referring back to the case where, let's say again, where she was a zava and then a few days after a nida rather, and then a few days after she tovel that she checked and found blood, but rather it's referring back a resh pirkin koi. Rava would say it's referring back to the first Mishnah of our parents. I'm samach dal ramadei. A loss of the oida bevesavia. We have the case over there of a girl who has already started having periods before she got married, but she's still a basula, and when she and her husband have relations for the first time, there's dam basulim, and we say, how long can we consider it dam basulim? So we said, the Hillel says the entire first night, it can be considered dam basulim. So therefore, so Rava would say, our Mishnah, talking about Me'es Les, is referring to that case. If after that first night, she has a flow of blood, then we're going to say Matama Me'es Les. Now, why do we need that? Safadai Nachamina, you would have thought otherwise like this. Given the Mapsikuhu Yomim Tahorim, given that in between you had days that were Tahor, not really days, it's only one night, but whatever, there was a period of time when blood that came from her we assumed was Tahor, because we assumed that it was Dam Besulim. So you would think, Kitchilas Nidasa Damya. Maybe now when she has a new flow, we should consider it as if it's like the first one that she ever has in her lifetime. No, we're going to consider it Dam Nida. But maybe it should be considered like the first one she ever has in her life, as if like the clock reset. The Loy to Tam in the Eslef, and therefore the rule of the Eslef shouldn't apply, because we learned from the beginning of the Sefer, in the first Perek. We said that, for example, you have a woman who, when a girl starts menstruating, then we say Daya Shaita until she starts having regular periods. So maybe over here we should consider that. Kamash Malon, Rava would say that's the point of our Mishnah, to say that we don't consider as though the clock reset just because there were Dam Sulam in between. We say that no, she's just like every other woman because she had regular periods before that. Therefore, the rule of Me'eslach applies.
So Rava doesn't apply the Mishnah.
So Rava would say that our Mishnah is referring back to that previous case and has nothing to do with the eleven Yemezi. Right. Okay.
Because
otherwise the Mishnah is contradicting him. So therefore he can explain our Mishnah that way in such a way that we don't have to say that he didn't know of our Mishnah when he said his opinion. Okay, the choice with the Rosh learns a little bit differently. He says, I mean, what would be the logic to say because she had one night of Dam Basulim, therefore you're gonna think the clock reset? So he says what it means is that maybe Kitchilas Nida means like as if it was like after Dam Toihal. We learned back, we had the discussion, you have a period of time when a woman has Dam Toihar, where we said it with a Mayan Echadu, there's a possibility it all comes from one source.
The
so maybe,
meaning
that after the 33 or 66 days after a baby. Right, so over here also you would say that maybe there was a period of blood which is considered Tahar, so maybe it would be considered like it's after that, and you need three owners after that or whatever, and therefore we're saying that. Then we said in the Mishnah, in Yeshla Vest, we said if this woman has a vest, practically speaking, okay, and the halacha is not like Rava, and then not halacha, Rava. Rava's understanding of that Mishnah earlier in the fourth parak was refuted anyway.
Okay.
What we're saying, so Rava will have his explanation of our Mishnah, but we don't hold to that. The simple meaning of our Mishnah is that when a woman, in this case that we were talking about, where she did a bedikah toward the end of the 7 days of Nida, found that she was Tomei or Tahar, as the case may be, a few days later, finds blood, then we say, Matama Me'eslef. Then we said, Im Yesh La Vest, if she has a Vest Kavua. Well, if she doesn't have a Vest Kavua.
If she doesn't have a Vest, but even if it's the first time, Dam Basulim.
No, Dam Basulim in and of itself is not Matama, except because of a Chumra that we learned at the beginning of the parish.
Right.
What we're saying is, even if this girl has just gotten married, but previously she was menstruating,
right.
when she has bleeding after the first night, where now it's not considered Dam Basulim anymore, then yes, the Mesles rule still applies. We said im yeshla vest. We said if she has a vest, though, then daya shaita. So the question is, name a tevetir of the Rav Huna Bar Chiya. Would we have to say that our Mishnah contradicts Rav Huna Bar Chiya? Rav Huna Bar Chiya amashmol. The Amar Rav Huna Bar Chiya amashmol loymar. Now again, when we had that Mishnah in the fourth parak on Daf Lamentes, that said that throughout the 11 days she has a cheskas tara, and we have five or six different opinions what that Mishnah means exactly. So Rav Huna Bar Chiya explained in the name of Shmuel, loymar she'ina isha kevas la vest mimei zivasa, that it's impossible to have a vest kavua established during the days of ziva. In other words, you could have, let's say, a woman can have a vest where, let's say, she's going to bleed every 20 days or 25 days or whatever, or every 15th of the month or whatever, but not, let's say, for example, that she's going to bleed every 17 days, because that would come out then the next expected time is during her Yemei Ziva of the previous one, and you can't be Kaveya a vest during that
it
time.
It has to be more
than
20 days.
Yeah. So the answer is almost, so our Mishnah seems to contradict that, because we're saying if she has a vest, and we're talking about that it's during the Yemei Ziva, then we're saying Daya Shaita. So the answer is Amalach Rav Huna Bar Chiya Ki Am Yunin Ein Isha Kevas La Vest Yimei Zivasa. You know what we mean when we say that she can't have a vest kavua that comes out during her Yimei Ziva. All that means is if such a thing is established, it's not considered like a vest kavua. D'lo Boya Tlosa Zimni L'Mecha. Because we learned in the previous parak that normally a vest kavua requires three times to break it. So if she has, let's say, a vest kavua that she has, let's say, every 30 days, in order to break it, that she shouldn't have to be choshish for the 30th day, we say there has to be three times in a row where there was no blood on the 30th. Now what we're saying is, Now what we're saying is there can be to a certain extent a vest favor during the Yimei Ziva, but not to the extent where you would need three times to break it. If you have, let's say, this woman has established that she has a short cycle, let's say 17 days, then one time of missing on the 17th day is enough to break it. That's the point of saying that she can't be kaveya of that. So therefore, Jamrin and Damel Mr. Lakin, because we say ordinarily during those 11 days, it's a chazaka that her blood is that she's not going to be bleeding. But given the Damel Mr. Lakin, Daya Shaita, since during those times, Damel Mr. Lakin, then Daya Shaita, we're not going to be mitameh her retroactively 24 hours in advance. But in other words, he would say that yes, if let's say she's established three or more times that she has a short cycle of 16 or 17 or whatever days, then yes, we do say that she has to be choshish for that the next time around. So when it comes to 16th or 17th or whatever day, she is going to be also on that day.
She needs two or three?
Three. However,
three.
Yeah. However, once that's missed even one time, then it's already broken. Then it's reset. Right. But nevertheless, our Mishnah could still be saying that there can exist a vest during the Yimei Ziva, and therefore the Mishnah is saying, suppose that it happens. Suppose she has a shorter than normal vest, and it comes out during the Yimei Ziva. Then yes, she can. When she bleeds on that day, let's say the 17th day, then yes, she can assume Orach Bezman Eba. It came at the expected time and no earlier, and therefore Dayashai.
How do you understand the Mishnah that says you cannot?
So he would say that the Mishnah is saying that when there's a vest kavua established during the Yimei Ziva, it's not like a regular vest kavua where it takes three times missing it to break it. You only need one time missing it to break it. However, our Mishnah is still saying as long as it hasn't been broken, it still is considered a vest kavua. Then we said in the Mishnah, Rabbi Huda Omer, we said Rabbi Huda had said that the bedikah that can be considered that will make her tahor has to be done min amincholamayla only towards the end of the day, whereas the Chachamim had said in the Mishnah, the Tanakama had said in the Mishnah it could be even in the morning, and the other Chachamim had said it could be even on earlier days. So Tanya, we learn in a bright, the Omer loy Rabbi Huda, they said to Rabbi Huda, why are you saying it has to be so late in the day? After all, what are you saying? You're assuming that the reason it has to be done so late in the day is because otherwise there's a possibility that maybe she bled after that. No, and if she does it very late in the day, there's still that possibility. If her hands were in her eyes, which is a euphemism, in other words, if she was doing a bedikka, kol ben ashmashes, throughout the entire time of ben ashmashes, yofa ata oimer, then yeah, you have a point, because then there's no possibility, once she did the bedikka, she's doing the bedikka for that, throughout that whole period, then yeah, obviously, then there's no blood that came out. Now, what does it mean to do a bedikka the whole ben ashmashes? It's impossible to do that, because only so long you can take over a bedikka. This would be the concept that we call in halacha a moich dochu. This is one of the places in the Gemara where we get the concept of moich dochuk, which is she does the bedikah, the hefsekara bedikah, then she puts in a moich dochuk, a tightly wadded up piece of a bedikah cloth or whatever, puts it in, leaves it in during the entire bein hashmashos from before shkia until after tzeis, takes it out and examines it, and as long as it's clean, then that's the equivalent of a bedikah, the entire bein hashmashos. So now, if there was any bleeding, either at the beginning or the end, or during the middle or at the end of Bein Hashmashos, then it'll be visible on there. But Achshav, now the Chachamim say, so you're saying she has to do the Bedikta very shortly before the end of the day. So what? Amirim Silik Yodeo Rasa. It could very well be as soon as she took out of her hand, as soon as she finished the Bedikta, Rasa, then there was a Riyah. So Mali Hikrisha Batara, Bezayim Min Amin Cholamayla. So now, if we accept that, who cares whether it was done on the seventh day min amin cholamayla? If she used the moich dochuk, fine. But you don't necessarily have to use a moich dochuk, they're saying. So the fact that we use a moich dochuk nowadays is a chumrah based on this gemara and some other gemaras to make sure that there was no possibility, again, that there was no possibility that after the bedikta on the seventh day that there was more bleeding. But in principle, in strict halacha, without that, you wouldn't need it. So they're saying this is no moist dochuk, and you're saying she has to do it as late as possible in the day, but after all, there's still the possibility that there's still a few minutes after that where there could have been more bleeding. Once you accept that there could be in a few minutes, then there could just as well be in a few hours. Mali Frisha Batara Mizayim Amin Cholamayla, Mali Frisha Batara Berishin. So who cares in that case whether she does it on the seventh day, right before Ben Hashmashas, or whether she does it even on the first day? Either way, there's still the possibility. There's always a possibility that afterwards there was more. And if you accept that, if you're willing to accept the chance that there could be during the 5 minutes from when she finished the bidik on the seventh day, then the same thing could be later on. So the Gemara says, what do you mean, Barishin? Mi ikalamanda omar. Whoever said, we have three opinions in the Mishnah when the bidik could have been done. We have the seventh day in the morning, the seventh day ben hashmashes, or the second day in the morning. Nobody said the first day. The answer is ain. As a matter of fact, yes, there is such an opinion. V'ha Tanya, indeed, we learn in a braisa, Omer Rebbe, Sha'alti et Rabbi Yosi v'Rabbi Shimon Tchoy Mahalcham Baderach, I asked Rabbi Yosi and Rabbi Shimon when they were walking on the road, Nida Shabodka Asma Yom Zayin Shachris, if Nida checks herself on the morning of the 7th, and Masa Tahoda, she found that she's Torah, or Beina Shemoshes Lohi Frisha, she didn't do a Heftatara that evening, or Acha Yom Bodko Masa Tmeya, a few days later she checks and found that she's Tomei, Mahu, what's the din? Do we consider
that
we had in the Mishnah, but the Rebbe, this is Rebbe, when he was a Talmud, was asking his Rebbe before he wrote the Mishnah. So she said, fine, she has a Cheskatara, like we said in the Mishnah, not like Rebbe Huda. Okay, then he asked them, what about Shishi, Kamishi, Revi, Shlishi, Sheni, Mai? What about in the Mishnah? This is before the Mishnah was written. What happens if she does the Bedikah on the 6th or 5th or 4th or 3rd or 2nd day? Mai, what would be the din? Omrulai, Loishna. And they said there's no difference. Either way, once she did a Bedikah and found it to her, then it's good. Yes, of course, like a Chila, she should be doing a Hefzatara at the end of the 7th, but yeah. Barishan Loishalti, continues Rebbe, I did not ask them, what if she did the Bedikah on the first day? But the Ta'isi Shaloi Sha'alti. But he says, thinking about this years later, I made a mistake by not asking about that. Why? Otu Kulu La B'chetzef Tumakaimi. After all, on all the other days, the second, third, etc., she has a chazaka of being Tomei, but yet we say the Kivin de Pasek, yet we can assume that once the bleeding stopped, then we can assume it stopped and didn't resume, unless we have evidence that it did. Risha Nami Kivin de Pasek. Then you can say the same thing on the first day. Once it stopped. So therefore, he's saying, after all, I should have asked them about the first day also, and if I had, they might well have said it's also good.
Yeah, the Rishon.
One second. Ikra Maisavah. So what was Rebbe's original thinking that he didn't ask them about the first? Because Horuva Hochet Mayim Pasuach. Because like we said, on the first day, you have a Chazaka of Mayim Pasuach. Nevertheless, though, Rebbe is saying, thinking about it later, maybe we don't have this issue of Mayim Pasuach. Maybe even on the first day, if the bleeding stops, then it stops. So therefore, so when we said that we have a braisa where the Chachamim are saying to the Yehuda, conceivably she could do it on the first, that is following Rebbe's later rethinking of it, that after all, there is a possibility she could do the Bedikah on the first and find that it's to her and it would be effective. Not like we said in our Mishnah, so in other words, we have four opinions on the subject now. We have the Tanakama of our Mishnah that it can only be the morning of the seventh. We have Rabbi Yehuda says it can only be the afternoon in the seventh, late in the afternoon, less than four shtia. We have the Chachamim in the Mishnah who said it could be even the second day. And we have Rebbe who says that it could be even the first day. The halacha is like the Chachamim in our Mishnah, so only from the second day and onward. I mean, practically speaking, again, it's not really relevant nowadays because we have to consider her a zava anyway. And plus, we have the 4 days or 5 days anyway. But yeah, okay. So that's that.
So there's five opinions.
So there's four opinions.
The Tanakhama of the Mishnah.
Rabbi Yehuda in the Mishnah. The Chachamim in the Mishnah. And Rebbe, and then Rebbe, what Rebbe rethought about the matter, and what he says, what Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Shimon might have answered if I had asked them about the first.
So according to this last piece, Rebbe would consider that the first day she can do also Bedikah, if not
yes.
Mayim Pasuach.
That's what we're saying. We're not worried about Mayim Pasuach, and therefore she could.
That
that's